I believe that as your pastor, I need to help you be ready for different difficult life situations that come your way. And so we're not going to run from difficult issues, and this is one of those.
Amen.
And so we've got some scriptures to look at. I've got two great gals here that are going to give some testimony and some of their input. I'm 71. I have done ministry since I was 19 years old. I have had people around me commit suicide 3 times, from what I know. I shared yesterday. One was, we would do an all-night soccer thing. Well, it wasn't all night. It would go from midnight until 3 at First Friends. And I had a friend that owned the pizza place. He'd send the pizza that didn't go out. And so we'd play soccer, eat pizza, and go home. And that night, there was a young man who was rolling a shotgun shell in his hand, throwing it up and rolling in his hand, throwing it up, rolling in his hand. And that was Saturday night, Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, I had heard that he pulled the trigger with that in his hand, and he killed himself. And my own kids were there, and there was all kinds of questions like, if we had only known. I wish I would have done something different. How many of you have ever said that with people that have made these kinds of decisions? Yet we've all got questions. And these questions don't go away. As a matter of fact, even if you try to sympathize and try to understand with somebody, and then they act out and commit suicide, we still are left with more questions than we have answers. Anyway, so with that said, the last thing I would say to you is that having talked with a number of you in this setting, death is really a difficult thing to process with people. But as your pastor, I need for you to be able to look at it in the eye and realize that your hope is in Christ.
Amen.
And no matter what happens, and when your day comes, coming out of Hebrews, it would say it is appointed for all men to die once.
Amen.
And then comes judgment. I know my day is coming. But I, like others, will say, even if we were together, if the Lord calls me, let me go.
Amen. That's right.
Let me go and be in a better place.
Graduation day. Amen.
And I would say for all of you, don't be afraid of this conversation with your family. Don't avoid it with yourself. Do your work. Get your, do not resuscitate if that's what you want, but do your homework. Don't leave it to the people who are living to figure out what you wanted. Figure it out. Be a grown up. Make that part of what happens in your lives this year. Okay, so I've got these two gals who are going to share a little bit of their experience. Who wants to go first? You want to flip a coin?
I'll go first. Okay.
Okay, let's go this way.
No.
Okay, she doesn't want a
microphone. I think my voice will carry. When Bill came to me and asked me if I would do this, it kind of took me back a little bit, and I said, why did you choose me? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, it's funny because I do have experience. Not only do I have experience in my family, I've had 3 family members who were an uncle and cousins who committed suicide. And it left such a deep hole and such grieving in some of the family members that they still have not gotten over it. And that was 30, 40 years ago. I'm 70, soon to be 71. I was raised in the church. I swear the day I was born, my parents took me to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I was involved in every child activity, every teenage activity. I love the Lord. I got baptized at 12, and I was very, very active in the church. As I got a little bit older, I made really foolish choices. I had bad friends, I had bad influences. I made a lot of really bad choices. Earlier today, when they said, raise up a child in the way it should go, and when it is old, he will not depart from it, God does not promise how long it's going to take for the child to go the way you raised it. It may be 15. It may be 40. So, number one, anybody that's a parent, and all of you that have grown children, you know you have to wait on the Lord, you know. I was raised right. My parents walked the walk and they talked the talk. But because of the influences and the things I allowed myself to get into, I hit a period of time where my spirit was so conflicted and so confused. And I knew everything I was doing was wrong. And I knew that I was hurting my parents so deeply and hurting Jesus, because through all of it, I never, ever lost my faith. My faith has remained strong when everything else about me was weak. But on a particular day, I had been praying. I was involved in an abusive relationship where I got my hind end beat almost every day, and I was helpless, and I was praising God. But my praising didn't help me. I still was hopeless. I saw no way out. So I called at one time. Akron had a line, and you could call, and it was supposed to be helpful. And you could call and find out, tell them, my friend took such and such amount of pills. Are they safe? Do I need to take them to the hospital? I called that line because I wanted to find out how much of everything I had there I had to take to do the job. And I took more than they said. God didn't intervene. He sent my brother after a college class to come to my house, and he walked in the door and I collapsed. He picked me up, put me in his car, and took me to the hospital. When I awoke, I felt like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I had a red bulb on the end of my nose. I had tubes going everywhere. And I didn't succeed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
After that, I knew I would never, ever feel so helpless that I would do that again. But none of us are safe. Ephesians 6 tells us, put on the full armor of God every day. I read that every day. I also read Psalm 91 every day. It's a prayer of protection for you, your family, for the world around us, you know. And he says, he will protect your heel from even hitting the stone. But read in Matthew 4 this morning about when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. No food, no water. Satan came to him and tempted him with all these things. But Jesus, because of the nature of the Holy Spirit that was himself, even though he was a man, he was able to tell Satan, get away from me. I'm not going to do this. But you know what? When you talk to somebody, if they tell you they're thinking about suicide, pray. Just pray. Cover them with prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time, when somebody really plans to commit suicide, you are not going to know it. They're not going to announce it. And that's why it's so devastating. And what could you have done? Nothing. There is nothing that you can do except pray. What we are fighting against is dark principalities. They are of the world. The Lord gave this place to Satan, and that is who we're fighting. We can't see him, but we sure can feel him. And they will attack you, and sometimes when you're in the midst of it, the more you pray, the harder the attack comes. And sometimes, unfortunately, we're too weak to, we don't let God do his job. So that's my testimony, and that's my thoughts on suicide.
Amen.
About how it really goes. I worked as a social worker, and at times I had problems like that. And as I would talk to them, I would try to let them know that they are loved. And I think sometimes people feel that when they're in that case, that nobody loves them and nobody understands. And I think at times a lot of people feel that way, and they give you an opportunity to help them, and by saying a word, and then you can start talking to them and letting them know that, you know, life is good, God is good, and sometimes you can kind of get them to think another way, because a person that is wanting to commit suicide feels like everything is gone, and they have no hope or anything, and trying to get them back to know that someone loves them and there is hope. And you probably at times have met a lot of people that maybe feel that way, and they'll sort of let you know it by telling you, you know, some of their feelings, and it's so easy to love all these people. I've always found out, because it's like, you want to wrap them up in your arms and you want to take them home and take care of them, because they're like looking for a way out. And sometimes you can make them feel that they're worthwhile, that God loves them, and this isn't the thing that you want them to do. And people will always respond to someone that loves them. And I think when you're in a situation like that, you can't judge them or you can't be angry with them, but you have to love them, because they need that love. And I did have a grandson that committed suicide not too long ago. And of course, he didn't live around here or anything, but he was a good Christian. He was a pastor at church, and an incident happened. He was having terrible pains and stuff from his back and everything, and a situation happened where his wife came in and it kind of scared him and he jumped up, and so he kind of, you know, hit her because he was having problems. But anyway, that was an unusual thing, and so she called the police, and I think they kind of handled everything wrong. They took her out of the house. He couldn't, you know, broke up the family, and of course he was in a bad situation, and he was so far away there wasn't anything I could do. He wouldn't answer the phone anymore, and he got to a place where he went and shot himself. And it was like he was a real strong believer. And of course you say, why? You know, why did this happen? And it's just like he was down there and they took everything away from him. And of course he was, you know, a couple of states away. And no one was able to really love him, you know. His family was up here and try to help him. And I regret sometimes that, you know, maybe I didn't fly down there or something. But I think a lot of people, probably a lot of you sitting right here at one point in time think, oh, I have nothing to live for.
Yeah.
And that's pretty normal because we have ups and downs in our life. But when you're down sometimes, you just can't get up by yourself. And so we need each other. And, you know, I know sometimes I go to the grocery store and there's someone there, you know, and they'll say something. And it's like, you know, say something to me. You know, they're lonely or they're hurting. And you'll find yourself, if you talk to them, you know, and you'll see, sometimes they'll tell you their life story because they're needing someone. So I think, you know, all of us can watch out for people that are needing us. And there's you never know when you're going to run into someone and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you've helped them because you've listened to them. Because a lot of people, they, you know, they don't have anyone that'll listen to them, but they'll reach out. And sometimes I think they feel that godliness that you hold within you, and they'll speak out to you, and they kind of want you to talk to them. And I think sometimes you can do that, and you may make a difference in another person's life you don't even know about.
Amen.
But, you know, I think sometimes we always have to, you know, look out for the world in a way, because you just don't know who you may meet someday that may need you to say, hey, you're a pretty nice person or something, you know. So I think we have to kind of...
You're the light.
I think
you're
we have
the light.
To, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have to, you know... As we go in this world, I think we have to pay attention to sometimes to other people
that's
that
right.
have broken hearts. Because sometimes you get in a bad position like that and you have no way to get out unless somebody helps you. And I think we all need people and we all need love. And so I think we have to, you know, when these things happen, it's too late, but sometimes you never know. You may meet a stranger and they're kind of sad and you talk to them and give them a little thing. You never know for sure what has happened, but you have made a difference somewhere. And I think we have to kind of, you know, look at our world and look at other people. And it's a hard world to live in. And we all at times are really down and out and we need someone. And I just think we all need to watch out for others. You know, it's like today people kind of don't, they're on their phones and they kind of walk away and all, but people still need people. We need love from other people. And I think as Christians, I think that's, we can see those needs a lot of times that we can, you never know when you may save life. know, you can say a few words to them. And sometimes you'll find out you can't get out of there for a while because they keep you talking. But you know, you don't know what you have done. We don't always know, but I mean, you have left a message with someone that you care about. And I think that's, I think we have to try to protect everybody that we know because we have to care and love them.
You're wonderful in this little group of people. We have people with some expertise around things that maybe you don't have. I'm going to go through a list of things so that you can be aware. And part of it is just knowing each other's stories when we need to be like, Lord, use me in this setting. Here's some of the rationale. Their rationale may not make any sense to you. It doesn't matter. It makes sense to them. So here's some of that thinking. They could have some extreme depression. They could have a sudden dramatic loss somehow. There could be despair over some kind of long-suffering frustration. There can be in a situation where there doesn't seem to be any remedy to what they're in. No one understands. They can be encouraged by music. Some of the music that people listen to is depressing, and it'll move them in that direction. Then the other one is there's a loss of community. And here would be a big one, I think, is people don't have a sense of purpose. Why do I stay alive? And if they don't know Jesus, they have no hope that this is going to be different. And yet, with Christ, we know life will become different. Okay, so here's a list. That was one. This is a list from Keith Olson. He says, suicide oftentimes is an escape from pain or an intolerable situation. Physical illness, death or a loss of parents or friends, death of a friend, death of a spouse. There is some, what we might call, not very good thinking, but there's a sense in which when people think they're going to commit suicide, they're going to be able to reunite with that one who has already gone ahead. Another could be shame. People feel ashamed of something that they've done, so they want to be out of having to worry about that themselves. There's a sense of revenge. Some people say, I'm going to commit suicide, so you're going to have to live with what you did to me. Do you hear the revenge? Shame, guilt, attention getting, manipulation. Oftentimes it's impulsive. And then oftentimes it just happens on a whim. And no one knew. No one knew this is what they were thinking. And then all of a sudden you have it. We have here, and you all know this, my son Jesse is an autism specialist in Asheville, North Carolina for Buckham County Schools. And it was after Christmas, school had started back. I think I told some of you this. There was a little guy who is in Jesse's sphere of influence. He's got about 20 kids from elementary through junior high that he tracks. He has to do all their IEDs, individual educational plans. This one little guy was acting out. He was hitting the walls with his fist, kicking things, kicking people, you know, and shouting and screaming. And Jesse's like, what in the world? And so Jesse decided, he called his principal and said, I think I'm going to have to be with him all day. You're going to need to go get a sub because I'm going to have to be with this little one. Was acting out, and after lunch, one of the things they would do is walk down the hallways and get some food. Usually it's a cookie. Anyway, off they go, and then all of a sudden this little guy starts to talk, and here that morning, his family lost their house in the flood that happened in Asheville, and this guy's dad committed suicide was the one who found him. And you think, how in the world? What could a grown man be thinking that he would do that to his son that already has issues? But he couldn't handle it. And I would say, for all of us, there are people that need us post-COVID. The crazy thing is that we need to be together. I don't know how you are, but me by myself is not a good idea. Are you that way? You know, if you don't get to be around people who can check you and say, you know, your thinking is stinking. You know, we just need each other, which is really wonderful. Anyway, let's jump into the scriptures a little bit. So if you are going to continue to ponder, and then I'm going to run you through a list. There's two places where suicide comes up in the scriptures. One is with Paul and Silas, coming out of Acts. Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in jail, and they're singing. Imagine that, singing in jail. And there is what looks like to be or sounds like an earthquake. They are released from their chains. And if you don't know this, in a Roman setting, if your prisoner was let go, they put you to death. And so this jailer is looking like he has to kill himself. And Paul shouts out in the scriptures, he says, we are all here, don't harm yourself. Isn't that interesting that Paul would be cognizant enough of this one who is his jail keeper? Don't hurt yourself. This is all going to work out. And then in that story, it's remarkable, Paul leads the whole family to Christ. So you never know what's going to happen. The other one that is a little bit on the more serious one in the New Testament is Judas. Judas would be called the son of perdition. In other words, you know, from time beyond time, the Lord knew that there would be this one called Judas, and he would betray Christ. And after that, he, of course, He basically led the Roman soldiers to Jesus for 30 things of silver. And after he did that and Judas kind of realized what he did, do you know the story there in Matthew? He goes back to them and throws his bag of money into the temple. And they say, we can't take this. This is blood money. And so those Jewish leaders bought a field there. It's called the Field of Blood, because Judas would hang himself, and over there, if it happened in the summer, you would just bloat, and it looks like his stomach or his intestinal tract popped open, and there was blood everywhere, and they bought that field for people who didn't have any other place. What I want you to think about with me is that he knew he did wrong, and that he wanted to give the money back. There is no difference between what Judas did and what Peter and the apostles did, except that those apostles, after the resurrection, got to be with Jesus. Judas did not. In the broader Christian community, in the family of faith, the Greek Orthodox would celebrate Judas as a saint. And that might be a little bit of a stretch for some of you. But I would say to you, we believe in a God of mercy. Hear these words that I know you know. For God so loved
the world.
Okay, now change the world to me and say it to yourself. For God so loved
the world
that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever would believeth unto him shall have everlasting life. Now, there's a couple other things I need for you to do, and then we're going to close this, and we're going to go get pizza. I know it's like how to eat pizza after suicide conversations, but that's what we're going to do. But here's what I need for you, and this is on your tables if you want a copy of it. The first one, on this one side, it says this. My life was suddenly divided into before and after. And that would be true for me with young people that I've had to navigate this with their families. But there was no going back. But then I had to realize I had a choice to live the after, I have to decide. And I would say for all of you, decide. Decide you're going to live until the day and the hour the Lord takes you home. But decide you're not going to crawl in a hole and think you're just going to disappear, because that's not going to happen. The Lord has you on this earth with the rest of us to make a difference for the kingdom's sake.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to turn this over. If some of you have guilt about this, we need to work through that with you. So the first one is, forgiving is not forgetting. You will not forget this stuff. It's not going to go away like there's some kind of magic Harry Potter wand and it's just going to go away. That's not going to happen. You will remember this all your lives, just like scars that are on your hands or legs. The second, forgiving does not release the offender from responsibility. What they did, they did. They're responsible for that. But you can let it go. You're not responsible for their decisions. Let it go. Forgive yourself. The third, forgiving does not mean that the offended must be positioned so as they might re-injure you. In other words, don't put yourself in a position where you're going to continue to get beat up by somebody. And I would have this. Repeat this line for me. I love this. When you're faced with evil, run. All we should see in each other is heels and elbows. Does that make sense for you? When there is evil, run. Don't stay there. Don't have to live with her story where she got beat up by somebody. That's not God's desire for her.
Let me add just one thing.
Yeah.
Where to run to? Run to the altar.
Yep. Run to Jesus.
Run to the altar.
Amen.
Forgiving does not mean you have to pretend that it never happened. She's never going to forget some of what happened to her. But now she's able to put that in light of Christ. And the Lord's allowed her to let that chain go from her ankles. Forgiving does not mean it didn't matter. This did matter. She got beat up. Her relative did commit suicide, and that's one of her family. And we can grieve with her through that. Forgiving does mean that I release any desire for revenge, payment, or punishment. Really wise man said, coming out of Romans 12, and I don't know how many of you have wrestled with this, when somebody has done you wrong, maybe you think you want vengeance. Do you want vengeance? Here's what it says. Don't seek vengeance. Now here's the kicker. You won't do it good enough. Only God would say that, you know? You know, we think, well, I'll get them back, you know? Whatever your plan is, it's not good enough. Anyway, we continue. Forgiving means that Christ will give me the strength to live with the consequences of the offender's action.
Amen.
Whatever has happened to you, you can get past it. Here, coming out of the book of Philippians, I can do anything through Christ who
strengthens me.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
As we continue. Forgiving others flows from the forgiveness that I've received in Christ. Yep. Okay, so now we're going to have a little bit of a prayer and just say it after me. Father.
Father.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Father.
Father,
help me,
help me.
Forgive others.
Forgive others.
Forgiving means that I recognize my own weakness and sinfulness. Then forgiving means because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for me. I'm not blowing smoke at you. This is things that believers have believed for centuries. And because we're able to benefit from their journey of faith, there's a lot that you and I struggle with. But the only reason why we struggle is because we don't know what the saints before us have told us to do. Yesterday I was in a place and I said I was doing this, and they said, "That's crazy. No church does that." He said, "Well,
we did.
You've never been to Bethany." And as your pastor, I am so proud of your willingness to face hard things. Because hard things will happen. The only thing that helps us through this is that we do it together.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to give a benediction, and then there's probably pizza coming somewhere, but we've got things to take down. But hear this. This is from, probably 400 years ago, a writer by the name of Julian of Norwich. It sounds like something out of England, doesn't it? Listen to what they wrote. "O God of your goodness, give me yourself. For you are enough for me. I can ask for nothing less. That is completely to your honor. And if I do ask for anything less, I shall always be in want. Only in you I have all that I need." Amen. Friends, it was good to be in God's house today with you.
Yes, it was.
Let's go take some decorations.